Previously on Tomorrow's End.
Put some pussy in the mix.
Do it in the butt.
Well, let's pretend.
Number 40. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Go get the Gimp.
I think I was 18 when I started playing with you.
Cover yourself in the filth of the flyers.
Women use too many words.
Ist, not sexy.
Is that what you're calling that gender?
Oh, motherfucker, I will cut you.
You want to see a donkey show?
It doesn't end well, but it always ends fun.
Fact.
Ah, yes, we're up to this episode. It starts so good, but it ends so horribly. I'm so sorry. When you hear the crash, you'll know we've gone completely off the rails, and it just goes downhill from there. Early on this one, we actually had some useful, cool stuff, and nothing really Morrow Project-based, just kind of gaming and us screwing around and, you know, just us being us. And then it turns into us being us. So, see you on the other side. This is Will.
I have a question. Given the general mix of players we have here, what would be your advice to people who want to get into Morrow, who want to play Morrow? They like the idea of the world, but they're not technical. Like, for example, I'm playing a mechanical engineer, and I know jack all about mechanicals or engineering. And then
I know I keep having to ask Jesse about guns.
Right. And so, you know, Mobius is, you know, has been in the medical field. And so he knows what he's talking about. If you notice, Doc is using real fucking shit when he's treating his wounds. And, you know, you have John over here who actually knows comms and communication and everything like that.
No, and, that's Tim. Well, I build shit.
And then you have, you know, Jesse who knows combat and he knows, you know, strategy and weaponry and all of that. And so what would be your advice for somebody who wants to get into Morrow but is intimidated by the fact that it basically is a simulation and they might not have the skills that their character would want to have?
Step one, you got to find a GM who's not a dick.
Boy, that's
where would we find one of those?
funny. You're dying soon.
Step two, read the entire 30-volume World Book Encyclopedia cover to cover like I did.
If you buy the book...
What do you do if you have a sex slave?
I was nine.
You
I hadn't discovered
on her
masturbation
back.
Yet.
YouTube.
Two of the problems with Morrow is, number one, if you're not a gamer and you buy the book and you read it, you're going to be scared shitless. I mean, this
it's
thing
true.
Is
yeah.
is full of numbers. It's full of math.
It
it's
took a
of,
village to build our characters. Oh,
holy crap, what the
it
hell
really
is this?
I didn't get it at all.
Yeah,
and I was
here.
Really intimidated.
And if you start, there's a reason why we don't do the combat system the way it is in the book, because we don't have that kind of time.
Well, there's a good tangential point that
we've actually been
needs
into
to come
that.
Up. You know, we probably need to actually describe how you do it again.
Oh, I did. I've got a good, in episode zero, we cover that very well. It actually is, it's changing a bit.
Right. Exactly.
Any game system, there are going to be the type of nerds that are the horrible type of nerds, which are going to go, you must follow the rules and how it's written, blah, blah, blah. No. Every game system is nothing more than
guideline.
A blueprint and a guideline. If you want to play it as a simulation, play it as a simulation. We're playing it as a role play. We are very heavy role play. Compared to a normal Morrow game, we're barely rolling the dice. Okay? I only make you guys roll dice when I can't decide. Or I can't tell you guys to decide. There's many times I have you guys rolling dice for absolutely no fucking reason.
Okay? So roll, and then we never come back to it.
I had when, was it episode three, episode four? These two coming back, we're looking for someone. Roll. What do I roll? It doesn't matter. Did you finally picked up on it. What do you mean it doesn't matter?
Yeah.
You're looking for something behind a building. You're not going to see it no matter how much you roll and how well you roll.
That was the episode that just aired.
Yep, four.
So, yeah. No, that's five, actually.
You know what, Tim?
Beginning five.
I think what you're doing is...
what you're actually trying to say is you're going around the mountain on this, and maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think honestly, you got to find somebody who's experienced GMing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And with that experience, yeah, when you say don't, you know, go look for a GM who's not a dick, you know, truly look for a GM who's looking at it to have fun, A. Because if you're just going into this for the fucking, you know, oh yeah, this is great, we're going to do this, and you don't want to have any fun, dude, just go play with yourself. I mean, it's going to be a lot more fun. You know, enjoy yourself a little bit better.
And if you can't find one, become one.
Absolutely.
And the way you become one, today, it's really easy to become one. Before, when we grew up, it was impossible.
You got it.
There was almost no information. If you were lucky, you got your hands on some of the magazines, rare magazines that were being published that mm-hmm. maybe had a document. Today, there's an RPG you can buy that can turn anyone into a really good role play, either a role play gamer or a role play mm-hmm. GM. Mm-hmm. It's called Fiasco. There's dice involved, but you don't have to. It's a wide open story. Every single person is a player, including the GM. The GM sets up the story. Okay, it's in the 1970s. We own a disco, and you want to steal the bar from me. You're currently in a love tryst between her and him. You want to get him from her.
I want to get him
and things
pregnant.
Like and then you go. Well, what do we do? Whatever the hell you want. Drive the story. And when the story gets to a certain point, I can go, ah, but this is going to happen. And suddenly, within a half hour, everybody's imaginations are just going full force, trying to figure out how to get to their goals. And not a die has been rolled, and anybody hasn't had to figure out something. Once you get past that and you understand that the role-playing does not have to deal with crunch in numbers and roles, the only time you have to go into that is when you're trying to do a simulation part.
Well, the other thing you're learning there, too, though, is you're being an author.
Yes.
You want to become a writer. You decided you want to be a writer for life. That's the exact thing right there.
Every single thing that we've done so far in this podcast has been completely custom written. There is nothing that I pulled this from. I take that back. The town of Haggish is completely stolen from the very first story ever published in, was it White Dwarf?
I think it was White Dwarf.
For D&D. All the numbers and all the tables, yes, I love the tables. I love especially the dying of pooping table. But that's for the simulation side of a game. You don't have to use it unless it works for the story. If you want a...
Fucking bug attacked me.
If you want Jesus. A Jesus character Christ. To suffer from dysentery, then do that. Go down that. Does it extend the story, or are you just doing it to torment the player? If you're doing it to torment the player, then you're it's back into the realm of the dick GM.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite things that I've been doing lately, with some of the places I get to go in and teach at, get them going. Make them look at their policies on how they do things is active shooters. It's a big thing in some of the places I go into. The organizations, the hospitals, the nursing homes, the dialysis centers, etc., they're very policy heavy, and what they want to do is they want to check the box. And the biggest kind of advantage I have is that's how they're approaching what we're going to talk about today. You know what I mean? And you sit down with them and you start your PowerPoint and you're going through it and you put them on a date and a time where the people who are in that room are not working. They're administrative staff, they're senior level staff, they're C-suite levels. You know, they have the pulse on where they are and what they're doing. Just ask them until it's a Sunday night at 7:30 in December, they're not at work. Now, all of a sudden, you've taken control from them, and they do not know what to do. You start engaging them. The only reactions they can give you are the reactions that are emotional, because they can't give you anything else. it's kind of a psychological act with them. It's at a certain level, but at another level, what you're doing is you're teaching them that their world isn't what it's supposed to be or what they think it's supposed to be.
Through role playing.
Exactly. And what happens is as soon as they're in it, they're not sure what to do. They got an idea and they start to engage and they start to give back and forth and back and forth. To a certain extent, that's your GMing. To a certain extent, what you're doing is you're forcing them to figure out life based on something that they aren't prepared to do. Now, when you've been doing this since you were 12 or before, this is a natural, quick reaction. And I can tell who's played a role-playing game in a room real fast. Because then I stick them doing stuff, and they're on it that fast, and you can, I mean, they're just doing it.
And you just pointed out something right there. You know, role-playing games actually help you in reality.
They do. Mm-hmm. But the problem is this is all fantasy. Just ask them. Hate to tell you, fantasy and reality intersect daily.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that's the problem, is they've been told it doesn't. There's a lot of people who've probably listened to this podcast. There's probably a lot of people who have listened to a lot of different things out there that don't get role-playing. They've got to have the stereo instructions. It's not bad.
They don't realize that, you know, half the time when you're at work, what you're doing is role-playing. You're pretending I like this guy. You're pretending this product is incredibly important for you to buy.
What you're doing is, as I like to say, you know, what's real life?
Yeah.
I can tell you what it is. Real life is actually looking around you like I'm doing now. This is real life. This is my friends. This is my family. These are the people that, you know, I'm going to count on in a pinch.
Mm-hmm.
And the fantastic part is it's not necessarily the people at work.
Yep.
It's not necessarily the people that call you family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to be respectful for everyone, because sometimes it's just damn hard to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
When real life gets interrupted by real world, that's sometimes the thing that calls it's very difficult to do. My son, he loves to write like modules for D&D. He really enjoys it. Is he a great player? He's a good player. He's not the greatest on planet Earth, but he's getting there. But real life got in the way of him.
Oh, God. We all sucked at his age.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's why I'm not melodramatic. But that's how it's supposed to operate, right?
The melodrama of a D&D character created at 16 is especially a 16-year-old girl.
I didn't start till I was like 23.
Oh, then you're missing out on some really choice melodrama. I mean,
I actually started LARP first.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know. Aren't I hot?
As Leah has done.
Yeah, don't start with the LARPing and just jump right in.
Leah is the juggalo of the gamer world.
Whatever. Whatever.
Whatever.
I don't hate on LARPing. However,
I will say she has a great set of tits.
True story.
Absolutely.
I will say, though, back to the real life applications of role playing and gaming. Is that this is literally what I've been doing at work, because I've been in training for my new job, and not only is there a lot of licensing and everything like that, Well, what it is that it was training us to be able to navigate our systems while also answering questions and being compliant and all of this. So we would be calling each other, and I noticed, first of all, I was the only person in class doing voices and accents, and I was very disappointed in everyone else's lack of commitment.
That's awesome.
At the same time, easily able to multitask, you know, carrying on a conversation while navigating through a system and learning, you know, where to click buttons and where to do what. Because I'm like, this is gaming. This is learning a new system. This is learning how to role play. This ain't shit. And it was just, I was mostly helping other people by the end of the training.
And it's crazy, because then people will come to you and like, I see that you really picked up everything real fast. And well, we see great things for you in the company.
Oh, everyone was saying I should be a trainer within a year.
Right. Exactly. And all of a sudden, how did you get this way? Is this just natural? Oh, it's just natural. Just keep telling them that shit.
Which is an interesting thing.
Maybe she's born with it.
One thing that's very interesting. Some people might say is a little sexist.
Maybe it's role-playing.
Oh, say it. It's not sexist. Sexist.
Most people Look at, go to any gaming con.
Oh, sweet mother of God.
Look at the people there.
Savages.
99% of male.
Barely out
and
of a
you're
fucking
not,
tree.
Most of them, it's like they've all
Is
got major social issues. Okay. Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Most of them have major social issues.
And bad and body odor.
I was going to say, as a general rule, they don't smell
sense
great.
Experience, okay. folks,
Here is something that's
senses.
Very interesting, though. I know a lot of gamer women, and I've met a lot at cons. Why is it that the women are complete opposites? Every gamer girl is always this very strong female personality, very strong female role model.
Because you had to be strong to get into it, to be get into any sort of geeky anything, especially like in the 80s, 90s, whatever.
You got
to. You had
you
to
can,
be forward.
That you can,
oh, right? Math. Because it was a boys' club. Because I mean, let's be real: the boys who were gaming were afraid of girls, and so they weren't
they
just going to invite you in.
So you had to act like not a girl.
Right, you had to you had to convince them you were a boy so that they would accept you into their clan.
Yeah, you had to just be one of the guys.
You rub your scent on them.
You can't be all, oh, math is hard.
Like, but they still are.
Or you just gamed with a bunch of chicks like I did.
Take you two down to Gen Con. You guys walk into like the Magic the Gathering room. Oh. It'll be all of a sudden, stop.
Everything smells like cabbage.
I know, I love it.
And then you'll feel them all, you can feel the floor shake as they all start shaking.
Cooked
I've been on dates with those kinds of guys, and it was he kept wiping his hands on his like legs.
And he smelled like basement, didn't he?
Yeah,
probably
basement and headgear.
Okay,
I have an idea.
I want to let all the gate guys know this is why she turned lesbian because of you guys.
No, savages.
Leah's right here. Don't worry, y'all.
She's holding. Well, and so's Julie. She's holding the straight torch up. I think I have something for you on this one.
Okay.
All right. So, from a sociological point of view, the interesting part about role-playing games is this is, I don't fit in, and I don't know how to socialize outside of it. So, this will be fun, because I love science fiction books, and this is how I'm going to start it out. This is the sexist part. I believe women naturally have a gene in them that looks for drama, not drama, like the drama llama showed up. But I truly do that they're better geared at world creating and imagination
rock.
And building themselves into, you know what, guys don't normally ever, they're never in a big, you know, paintbrush. They're never uncomfortable in their own body unless they have some other particular things going on. Women go through changes completely differently than men do. Okay? Men grow hair because we're apes. Okay?
Well,
when women go through changes, they're not just growing hair. Now, all of a sudden, they got three sets of hormones that are trying to vie for top position. So I think the idea of being able to role play.
Wait, what comes three sets? Three sets?
Easier.
Yes, male, female, and demon?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Succubus. Succubus.
So, you know, you've been able to grow at it a little bit better. So when you capture it and you're like, wow, I can actually be the strong female archetype heroine in a D&D game. Where
my charisma's 18, motherfuckers. Correct. Who cares what I ate for dinner?
And when you when you walk in to an all male gaming group, your charisma is 18.
Yep.
Oh, I never felt so pretty than when I was.
Oh,
LARPing.
I know, right?
And it's a crazy part. When I say that, people think, "I'll call you." No, really, some of the finest fucking gamers for Vampire D&D. You add a woman to the mix. You don't have to do shit. Just sit back and watch it happen. Because you want
turmoil, conflict,
interaction at any level.
You'll put some pussy in the mix.
You'll have a gay guy fighting the fuck for him. All right. And it's funny as hell to watch.
Oh, yeah.
It's not, you know, oh, ha, 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 funny, point and laugh and walk away. No, it's the best interaction because you bring the logic to the game as well as that comfortability. which eventually rubs off on us savages.
Well,
okay.
Prolonged exposure to Leah has been known to tame the savage beast.
There we go.
So, you know, it's an aspect. When I met Kay and we started gaming, I was like, God, she's just badass. She knows exactly what she needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a solid game. She was a solid gamer. How old were you?
I think I was 18 when I started playing with you.
Right. And I mean, legal. At 18, how do you friggin'...
I'm going to take that out of context.
Yep. Yeah.
Previously on.
Oh, that's awesome. I was 18 when I played with him the first time.
I was 18 when I started playing with you.
Then you need those sounds afterwards. The doc.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I'll add in that sound of a lubricated glove.
18.
Oh, God.
Put the
macaroni
lube in.
Sex noise.
Lotion. A little more lotion.
Juicy as a freshwater clam.
I think that as a female going into a male-dominated world, because for me, like, being the female business owner and a female performer, I get called honey a lot.
Hey,
honey.
Oh, jeez. Sweet cheeks.
Don't call me honey. Anyway.
Clitoris
so
holder.
When automatically, right, yeah. I hold the power. Automatically, when I walk into a room of males, I put on that strong female thing. And man, so even if I'm not feeling it, I can radiate strong female in a group of males. So coming into a room where it's males that are gaming and know what they're doing, and I obviously don't know what I'm doing, I'm automatically going to create a character that is badass and, you know, be that person when I walk in the room.
Well, it's one of the interesting parts is that I've got a 17-year-old daughter. I wanted to introduce her to gaming earlier, but then I also know gamers, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to introduce her to those people. Exactly.
You know, that's what we need to do with a boyfriend. We need to sit down and game with the two of them.
I thought we were going to hold him down and put it in his butt.
Well, that's fine.
We're just gonna do it in the game. That way, he's like, ooh, they really do that.
See, now that is the funny part. The one thing you did mention.
Yes, what about sodomy?
Only in an RPG game, especially D&D, I've had a woman gamer and a homosexual male gaming, and in the game, they both decided that they were going to have a torrid love affair.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And it's what's insane about it is it's because it's
interactions.
It's almost teaching time for the you know, the young tree dwellers of, you know, I buy her a drink and then I put it in her. Time out there, chief.
Like, I heard if I was abusive to her, eventually we'll fall madly in love. I've read fantasy novels. I know what happens.
This is exactly where I learned. That was where I learned that.
And that's absolutely true. It's the reality does not meet the fantasy, and we know that, but we don't know how to engage in that.
No.
It's just simply that.
But I was at it. My 17-year-old self looked at this whole thing going on, and I'm going, I had to stop everything. I said, out of game. I'm doomed. I said, what? I said, only a gay man knows how to seduce a woman.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, because he was doing everything.
No, that's
right.
Not true. And, no,
they're very good at it. They're very good at it, though.
They are.
And I mean, every single one of us on the table, we're just sitting there like speechless.
But you know, it comes back to this, you know, how good is it to have women in a role-playing game now?
I think it's highly important.
The world. I've had the dick only games. I mean, it is what it is. You know,
have you ever played a pussy only game or only with one dude?
Because yes,
that is a different gaming experience.
I totally want to play a vagina only.
I've done them, and you get a very different gaming experience. Like a great example, when I was 19, I think. Ben was running a game, and at the time he was dating
Jessica.
Speaking
of the only penis.
Right. And Colleen and I were also playing, and none of the guys showed up to game that night. And so he was running this game, and it was supposed to be like one of those go steal blank from the Baron in the city and da-da-da. I don't think we rolled for combat once the entire session.
Absolutely.
Instead, we ended up looking for prostitutes to try and like sneak in, and we ended up having our gnome dress as an orphan girl.
You ended up using like intelligence.
Oh yeah, exactly. And our gnome had actually tried to create like some sort of like a sleeping powder, and she fumbled her roll, and all we knew was when she blew it at people, they passed out. So we assumed it worked, and she didn't know about the constitution damage. And oops. Yeah, and so she basically just went through this baron's house, just fucking blowing this powder in everybody's face. We get to the baron, accidentally kill him, steal all of the shit in his room. And like, we accomplished everything, but he was just staring at us the entire game going, this is what you're fucking doing?
Oh, yeah.
We're like, yeah, and it's working. And he's like, I'm baffled at what is happening right now.
Women use too many words.
It's been, he's always baffled.
Well, granted.
It's love you, Ben. So grand. That's, again, I say it. This sounds dumb, but you guys bringing the gene to the game, that you bring the intrigue, you force men to actually be better role players instead of Korgoth.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, hell, it's
playing Korgoth is fun.
Well, no, well, I know, but all right. So I got a Conan game running with a couple of people.
That's the best Korgoth character ever.
And one of the best parts of it is when you stick Korgoth in there. And you have three women playing, Korgoth doesn't act like Korgoth.
No.
All of a sudden he takes I got to change gears up on Korgoth. And that's the funniest
part. And start worshiping
part.
My black goddess.
Exactly.
Which is what happened.
And
you're damn right.
And that's how it goes down. The best part to it is they bring it because it's not, oh, check out my dick and balls. It's, you know, yeah, those are impressive as hell. And for some women, I'll need those later. However, we're role-playing right now, so let's get to the brass tacks. We need to find the gold ring. You know, we need to find the chest of gold. We need to solve the mystery. And dudes fall right into place where they need to be. It makes them better role-players. Hence, I honestly believe it makes them better fucking human beings.
I'd agree. Yeah.
So, message of the day, get yourself some lady gamers for your game.
If you can't find
any. Do yourself
any.
A favor. Find yourself a lady
and
gamer.
And I swear to fucking God, if any single one of you is like, well, I'm worried about getting myself a fake game girl who just wants to be around all
fuck
of this unwashed
you.
Dick. I mean,
fuck
no.
You.
No. I guarantee you, nobody wants to spend that much time around you and your friends just because she thinks she might get some. Quit
I'll
inflating
back,
your
I'll back
egos.
Up on that. Do not bring your fucking girlfriend to the game.
No.
Not if you want to keep her.
All right.
Never bring anything
unless
valuable.
Unless she was a gamer before she got
I'll tell
into
you what,
it.
Somebody at that table is going to not only steal her, but she's going to worship his cock while she fucks you.
See, my thought
is a
is,
fact if you're that fucking stupid.
My thought is a lot of people are like, well, yeah, you know, women always get into a relationship to steal clothes. No, women gamers get there to steal dice.
Fuck yes.
That's the only downfall. I will say that. That's the only downfall.
And gentlemen, if you want to lose fingers, touch a female gamer's dice.
Oh motherfucker, yeah. I will cut you.
Yeah, you can touch their boobs if as long as you don't touch their dice.
That's fine. Ask nicely, you can touch my boobs, but if you touch my fucking dice,
I will.
And if I didn't
you.
Offer to it you first to be like, oh, you don't have dice right now, let me offer you some dice. If you're like, oop, I need that D4, motherfucker. I'm a poke it through your palm if you try.
Fucking there's good parts, which are really great. Plus, here's the other bonus. Gamer chicks know other gamer chicks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fuck one of them over,
yeah, you're in trouble.
Never get another one.
Yep.
You're in trouble.
Two, gamer chicks, they're not easy, but they're great in the sack.
The looks around the table.
I wouldn't call us slutty, but we are great in the sack.
I don't know. Even your disapproving look is pretty good.
They're sleazy, but they're not easy.
I'll go with that one.
All right.
Well, just think about it. If they can
how
role play
how long have you
normally,
been trying, Mobius?
yeah, if we can role play normally, we can convince
over
you.
Over a decade now.
Right.
I have an idea for a reality show that we need some funding for. I want to get a hotel that has two separate towers, but only one bar. Okay? You're going to have in one half, you're going to have a gaming con, like Magic the Gathering, that kind of stuff. In the other half, you're going to have a romance novel convention. romantic times. Because I've actually gone to the Romantic Times
convention.
And I have stories about the Romantic Times convention. Because holy shit.
There's going to be so much sexual attention and energy being released.
Oh my God.
There.
But you make cheap drinks and you put up cameras in the bar.
No, the entire
thing is the interaction of these two very, you know, socially awkward groups in the bar with liquid lubrication. Because this is a reality show. Oh my God.
So, the diseases that would get passed around would just be.
That's just it.
None of them. They'd be like,
what are they
going to
do? It's like a yogurt
convention.
The problem
is that one person would bring in filth, but everybody would get it.
Well, that's a possibility.
All right, so I'll stay home.
Jesus. So here's a little piece of information for you. So I got access to a lot of things, you know, and I get to see a lot of things that people like, oh my God, how did you even know that? Well, it just happens to be part of my job. We've got some new cruise ships coming up.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Great Lakes cruise ships.
Are we getting the gay cruise this year?
Nope. Just this is the best. Can't tell you which one. I think it's fantastic. There is a Great Lakes cruise that will be stopping in Muskegon, but it has 144 single women between the ages of 30 and 60.
Oh wow!
It's I was like. I'm sitting in the security.
What's the minimum age?
This is 30 to 60.
Fuck yes.
So I'm sitting in there. I'm listening to this and I'm like, oh, sweet mother of God. I said, did we get rid of all the antibiotics? And I get this guy looks at me and he goes, well, actually, it was my boss who will go unnamed. Looks at me and he goes, that's really pretty vile. And I looked at him. I said, how old's your wife? And he just got mad. And I'm like, see, you're angry with me because I asked a question. I have a legitimate concern of what might be coming into town here. Okay. And you're playing patty cake games thinking I'm thinking dirty.
No, uh-oh. Someone's going to get super clap.
Oh, yeah. Super clap.
Super clap.
I think that's on the menu.
I'm like, oh my God.
No, it's that disease where you put your dick in and you explode.
Right. Well, here's my thought. I'm like, oh my God, when does this thing come into town?
I've given that to so many
men. And
I
got to get the hell out of town. Yeah. But I signed somebody up to do a little duty for me. Cow, bitches.
Was Jesse informed before this point?
No.
Because that look does not look like he was.
He nope.
That's Mr. Generosity. Ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce you to Muskegon's own Mr. Generosity.
Oh, Mr. Generosity.
Coming to the center stage.
Oh my God, the look.
Get up on the goddamn stage.
You know those dreams you used to have when...
Shake your butt for cash. That's why you're getting paid.
You dream that you went to school and there was a test you didn't study for and you weren't wearing pants.
Yeah.
That's the look you have on your face right now.
Why do you think he has an industrial case of, what is it, armpit length plastic gloves?
Why do you think I got a stage? You're going to earn your keep, buddy.
Magic
Mike. Make that money. Make that money.
I will totally go hit an ATM.
It'll be like Yeti joined the Magic Mike 3.
That look is not a comfortable look.
It's always uncomfortable until it comes out. And then it's like, whoa, holy shit. What do you got there?
He's just upset that he doesn't want any ladies to see his tramp stamp.
This is where gaming and reality clash, because what we're looking at right here... It's that exact look when you realize you just blew a saving throw in real life.
Take my fucking money, stud!
Look at how pink he's getting.
That boy's got a dick on him like a goddamn donkey. Jesus H. Christ, look at it.
Yeah, but that look you're making right now is what happens when you roll a one in real life.
Jesse just fumbled his luck roll, I think.
That's 144 of them.
That's a failed dodge roll.
Don't worry. We got a lot of lube for you.
This is why you ask questions before you say yes.
I didn't even say yes or no. I just found out.
No.
See, the best part is I'm just going to go, hey, what are you doing? hey, I got some shit I got to do for security down here, blah, 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 blah. All right, I'll be down to help you. Wait, what? No, what date is it? Is there a cruise ship? It's going to be cruising around? Where the fuck are you? I need your help. Fuck and, you.
And people wonder how we have these weird stories and adventures and shit. This is how, right here.
That's how they start.
Hey, you can't have an adventure without proper intelligence.
Well, the problem with that, though, is experience points hurt. You know, people talk about leveling up in real life. Oh, yeah, I want to get better. You know, I want to get better at something. Okay, well, you need experience points. Well, how do you get experience points? You get whacked in combat.
I want to point out that I'm the last one to have had a real injury by my own hand, my own place.
Well, that's a critical, not an injury.
That was a critical failure. All right. I totally missed the decks on that. Total reflex
step
failure.
Off the stage. Yeah. One.
I'll challenge any one of you to try to hold a tequila bottle and fall off a stage and not cut yourself.
Touché.
Anyone?
There's not anyone.
Yeah, that's like, what
do I get to go right now? Yeah. Or do I have to be inebriated?
Not until the camera's on.
Little of both.
All I can tell you is I got experience points. And look, a non-working digit. See?
Flaccid pinky.
Hey.
Their left hand slowly becoming the hand of Vecna.
Better than a flaccid lap pinky.
Yeah, there we go.
You no longer have to sit on it to pretend it's somebody else.
So the pinky and the butthole got a lot more fun.
Yeah, you were calling for Odin one night.
Oh my.
Remember when I challenged you to drink that tequila? Don't let that Marine show you up.
Oh Jesus.
Ooh.
Drank half a bottle of $50 tequila and then promptly went over and killed half my lawn. And I mean fucking killed it. Like salted the earth. Shit won't grow there. Yeah, the whole thing. The dogs avoid it. You know? You know what a basset hound won't go
smell
nut,
right over there.
You're like,
you know, a lot of people out there listening think that, you know, oh yeah, we're big partiers. Yeah, yeah. We drink a 24 pack of beer, Lord, between three people. Yeah, big deal. We're at this little hole in the wall bar that actually has like safety grating so you can't go under the giant trough urinal where Mobius got hugged by a hair lip
mullet.
Mullet. Ooh. Yeah.
Cleft palate, gentleman, drunk as a
bonus
lord.
Points.
And we got asked if we were Amish.
Yeah.
Julie
and I are in, like, you know, black leather with chains and shit. I mean, we look like bikers from the apocalypse. And this guy goes, are you guys Amish? Yes. Yes, we're fucking Amish.
You can tell because we're not wearing any buttons.
We're extreme Amish.
Yeah, we're extreme Amish. In this bar, Mobius comes over and sits down a water glass, you know, the typical water glass, and says, drink that. And I take a swig because I figure it's, you know, it's water. No, no.
No, it's vodka.
He's got a fucking water glass full of Patron.
Jeez.
It's like, where the hell did you get that? Over there.
Over there.
Over there.
The fuck? Now we're watching a band. It's a two-man band. It's a guy playing bongos and a guy playing acoustic guitar doing Rage Against the Machine.
Congas and bongos. Get
yeah,
it right.
You know, because, yeah. Yeah, playing People Rage Against the Machine. Yeah. So, yeah. It's just as bizarre as it sounds. I mean, we were in an adventure.
There's a head of a buffalo there, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And there's the hood of a car on the wall.
Correct.
And in
there's
in the
also
corner,
a feed store.
Well, I'm getting to that.
Oh, yeah.
In the corner of that bar, there's a window and a door that leads into a convenience store.
Oh, Nunica. Okay.
I didn't say that out loud.
Bam! There it is.
Figured it out.
In that convenience
you've
store,
never been to the
you're good
off.
At Carmen San Diego, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know, last time I was there, I left with my card sitting on their counter.
Yeah. I left my card there too last
yeah,
time.
There you go.
Been drinking way too much.
When we're in there, we realized you can go in the convenience store and buy booze in the convenience store, then bring it back and drink it. But that wasn't all we realized you could bring back. So we went in and bought like you know, push-up ice cream and worms. Because you can. It's like
you fishing worms, folks. Like, no, we're not talking gummies here.
It's like $1.25 for a little tub full of live earthworms. And, you know, we're all drinking tequila with a jar of live earthworms on the table. Because
so you realize how this goes, right?
Yeah.
No.
Mm-mm. We won't go into it, but let's just say that's not a good combination.
Just at the eating of the...
No, you don't eat them. You drink them.
Wrong kind of worm.
Nope.
Doesn't really matter at that point.
You don't eat the worm.
I mean, seriously, I'm sitting there drinking enough tequila to kill a fucking full-grown goat outright. Yeah. Thud. Yeah.
Beet juice.
The fucking worms were probably the most healthy thing you could be consuming in that bar. Let's really face it. Just a little dirt.
Okay, what in the hell is that thing that comes out of the kitchen every so often? It's supposed to be an onion flower, but it's not.
Oh, I don't even
know. Is that like a fried cauliflower? All I know is
every now and then I'll eat a few, like whatever comes off of it, and the next day I could shit through a fucking screen door.
See, now that wasn't the problem I had. The problem I
certainly
had was,
don't change the oil.
Well,
shit, that oil hadn't been changed since 1963.
Yeah. It's a wonderful machine. Food in the top, fried food out the bottom.
Right. Done.
But
magic.
What else
when
you need?
When you eat that, you never know what's going to happen to you. You just ate the fucking deck of many things.
Right. I know.
And like, the universe.
You're eating the deck of many things like fucking, you know, Ripple potato chips. And it affects you in different ways as you eat it. I mean, like.
Morrow deck of many things?
No.
Close. No, check it out. Hold on. I got to stop you on good. This because this is great. We have to have a Gorilla Supper Club, and we have a gaming theme.
Yes.
So you got to bring your... Look, poor Julie's terribly like, what?
A meat D20.
Or, you know, you're eating a deck of many things. Ah, yes. See where I'm coming with it?
Yeah.
Huh?
Cake that says, find the toenail.
Correct.
Yeah,
which I have. I found the toenail, by the way. My yuck toe when it came off. I put it in a. Oh, it's right over here. Yeah, I gave that to Paul. He opened it up and freaked out. It was really funny.
Print a shot for him.
Actually, I tried to get him to do that, and he wouldn't do it. Yeah. That fucker will drink a cigarette butt, but he won't drink a fucking falling off toenail. I don't know.
Some people
really. Kids. I mean, seriously.
God damn.
Yeah. What's
it
worse?
Didn't end up in the dinge bottle, did it?
No.
Thank God.
No, that's up in Alaska, isn't it? The toe?
Oh,
the toe is actually it's in Whitehorse.
There you go.
You got to find the right bar.
Jeez. Yeah. But, you know, this is how adventures happen. And remember, kids, experience points are
funded by
GiantRubberDick.com. Bum, bum, bum.
I warned you. If you're still listening, it's your fault. At any rate, that's another After Tomorrow's End. Tune in 2 weeks when I don't know what the heck's going on. But I know that we're going to get together in a couple of days and record another big stint of audio for me to cut up and make these episodes out of. And we're going to be recording our special holiday extravaganza soon. So, this is Will, and hopefully that didn't damage your sanity too much, and you had something to laugh at there. Talk to you later.
I've completely given up on the chances of becoming a official podcast.